Father, your word declares that we are to be taught of you, Father. And as we come into this module too, Father, we pray that you will establish within us, O God, the conviction, O God, that we are all meant to be taught by you, Father. So enable us to hear and receive your word, Father. Enable your word to come alive in us and bring forth in us the purposes that you have for your word. Let it be your word. Let it be the word that you manifest into our being. Let it be the word, O God, that you develop into our being. Let it be the word that is developed into our heart and into our minds, into our thoughts, our words, our deeds, into our intents, our attitudes, our desires, our imaginations, into our objects and our purposes, into our will and our emotions, into our character, our nature, our personalities, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Release the word, O God, that will enable us, O God, to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ. So communicate the word to us, Father, in the spirit and life of Jesus. Establish the word in us in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring forth the fulfillment of the word through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unveil the word in our lives in a lifestyle that is holy unto you, Father. That we will be a holy people, a peculiar people set apart unto you. That in having the desire to belong to you, Father, we may become your chosen instruments. We may become, O God, a blessing in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. That we will become all that you have desired for each one of us to become. That we will unveil, O God, in the very essence of our being, the awesome wonder, O God, of being called by you, Father. So, Father God, let your hand rest upon us as you lead us and enable us to receive the word that comes from you by the Holy Spirit in the awesome wonder of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Let there be light, Lord. Let your light form and fashion the fabric of our being, Lord. Let your light, O God, manifest within us and clothe us, O God. Let that life, O God, be the light of life, Father. Let that light, O God, enlighten us and enable us, O God, to see all things in you, Father. So open us, O God, even as you expound your word to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the Psalms, Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. These are the words of the Lord. I will instruct you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. From generation to generation. When you are taught by God, you are taught from generation to generation. You receive something that continues forever. And it is something that continues from generation to generation. You have something to give. The idea of being taught by God is something that people struggle with. The idea of being taught by God is an idea, is something that people struggle with. But in the scripture, being taught by God is very fundamental to everything that is in God. We have to be taught by him. And this module too is about being taught by God. It is the very pulse of this school of ministry. It is the very intent and desire of this ministry that you will discover the fact of being taught by God. That you will discover the fact that God can actually bring things into you that you have never known existed before. So you need to understand this, right? That God means for us to be taught. So let's turn to Psalm 119 and look at some more verses about how the psalmist has a hunger to know the things of God. Psalm 119, which is the psalm of the scriptures, all right? Psalm of the word. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy statutes. All right? Teach me thy statutes. Verse 18, Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in thy law. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. They are my counselors. Verse 26, I have told of my ways and thou hast answered me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me understand the way of thy precepts. So I will meditate on thy wonders. Amen. Verse 28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to thy word. Right? Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me thy law. Now all these are different styles of expressing how we should be taught by God. How we can be taught by God. Being taught by God is a wonderful process. We said that the flow of Scripture is many waters. And underlying the flow of Scripture is the fact that God can teach you. If He doesn't teach you something, you are not going to have it. All right? Are you listening? Verse 31. I cleave to thy testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. For thou wilt enlarge my heart. So obviously we are talking about realities that are beyond the intellect of man. Man doesn't teach you in styles like this. But God says, right, that He can enlarge our hearts, right? Okay, verse 34. Give me understanding that I may observe thy law and keep it with all of my heart. Verse 38. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. Alright? So, you find there are so many different ideas about being taught by God. Now, we could turn all of those ideas into different teaching sessions, actually. Because that's how complexly God teaches us. Right? That's how complexly God teaches us. So, the intent of this module is for you to have in your heart the conviction that you're going to be taught by God. That being taught by God is something very basic and fundamental to your growth as a child of God, as a servant of God, as a man of God, as a son unto God, as an instrument of God. It is very fundamental that you be taught by God. All right? If God can enlarge your heart, then it means that everything is possible for you. God can bring into you something that will create a new thing inside of you. All right? When God can open your eyes, for instance, that is amazing. That you will be able to see and understand what you would otherwise have never seen. All right? Okay? Make me understand, right? That God can actually make you understand. And so this is the cry of the psalmist in all of these psalms. Right? There is a desire for him to be taught by God. And you need to ask God for that desire to be taught by him to come alive in you. Because you're not going to give ear to the things of God until you have a hunger and a desire for it. And the hunger and desire to receive from God has to be received from God. God is the provider. God is by name the provider. And so we need to understand that everything that is brought to us by God has to be given to us. We have to learn how to receive from God. We have sought our own ways. We have done many things in our life, in our own wisdom and our own understanding. Now it is time to go back to the Lord and seek His wisdom. Seek His knowledge. Seek His will. Seek His directions. Seek His hand. Seek His provision. Seek that which will remain with us, rather than go after things that will pass away. And so, turn to the Lord. Expect Him to teach you. Expect Him to cause you, right? to cause you to understand what he is talking to you. Let's look at verse 130. The unfolding of thy words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. The unfolding of thy words gives light. So when God teaches you, he brings into your being light. The Bible declares in 1 John that God is light. God is light. And here it says that the light that is in God is brought to you by the unfolding of his words. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives understanding to the simple. Alright, so you need to understand that. You need to know that in your heart, that God gives understanding. Understanding does not come from you. In the world system, we understand according to our intellect. In the system of being taught by God, understanding is given to you by God. How is that so? So let's start with this word understanding. To know something in God, you have to understand it. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the first part reads, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. So what is faith that causes this understanding? Let's turn to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm using words from the New King James Bible, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that evidence is what becomes understanding inside of you. So when God teaches you, he teaches you by bringing into you substance. Faith gives understanding. By faith we understand. Inherent in that is the fact that faith is the substance of hope. Faith is the substance of hope. So when God teaches you something, he communicates substance into your being. He communicates substance into your being. He uses the word to communicate that substance into you. He uses the word to communicate that substance into you. And then he brings out of that that substance an evidence. An evidence that will enable you to understand. That will enable you to know that you have something in God. And that process is very important. But you see, that process of being taught by God only begins when you set your hope on the Lord. So you find that what the Psalms that we read just now, why did we read them? They were psalmists expressing their hope that God will make them understand, open their eyes so that they will understand, enlarge their hearts so that they can receive, release his word into them so that it will bring forth light. And in that reality, God is describing to us, right, the necessity of having hope for something in God. Your relationship with God begins as you set your hope on him. Continually, forever and ever, hope has to be something that becomes part and parcel of your being. Hope opens you to receive the light of God. Hope opens you to receive the reality of the ever-living God. As long as there's hope inside of you, and hope can be in you at a conscious level, at a subconscious level, at an unconscious level. So hope is not something that you articulate merely with your thoughts. Hope can be manifested through a desire that is inherently built inside of you. So when God brings the word inside of you, one of the fundamental things in teaching you is to create this reality of hope. That you are expecting something of God in you 24 hours of the day. There is a conscious level, there is an unconscious level, there is a subconscious level. And God wants you to understand that. that we are talking here of being supernaturally taught by God. And to be supernaturally taught by God, you must always have hope inside of you. You must cultivate this hope. So as you listen to the scriptures, as the scriptures are unveiled inside of your heart, they must produce hope. If they do not produce hope, there cannot be faith. There cannot be the substance that will manifest faith. And if there is no substance, there cannot be an understanding that comes out of an evidence of something God has released into you. Here I'm talking about spiritual realities. So brethren here, to be taught by God, you must have hope. To be taught by God, you need to be continually receiving the substance. The substance of what He has chosen to communicate to you. So that's why it is very important for you to know the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, in words in scripture, God has contained a reality in those words. Take a word like love. There is something in that word love. The Bible says God is love. In that word love, God has invested a reality. It is an immense reality. That the word love does not do justice to what stands in that word according to God's plan, according to God's nature, according to God's intentions, according to God's purposes, according to what He wants to do with the love that comes from Him. So you realize that you have to have inside of you a hope that the love of God will be explained to you. It will be brought into your nature. It will be developed into your being. It will be expressed through your life. There must be that underlying hope. And then God will manifest the substance of that love so that His love can be evidenced in your life. And when His love is evidenced in your life, you change. You change. You begin to discover what is contained in that word love as God designed that word to be. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Doing the right thing. It's a simple word. It's one word. But in that one word, there's an infinitude of purpose and intent that God has. Righteousness. To do something right. How important that is. How important that is in every function of human life. Even in the natural, we can see that doing something right is so important. Because it saves a lot of things. It is very efficient to do something right. It is inefficient and stupid to do something wrong. It is highly absurd to keep repeating doing this wrong thing over and over again. But how many things in our life do we keep doing the wrong way over and over again? It seems like we do not even listen. We do not even hear. We do not even understand. Whether we are learned people or unlearned people, there are so many things in our life where which we do so wrong. Sometimes those things have been repeated from generation to generation. Doing the wrong thing. Right? Thinking that the wrong thing will bring forth good things. Right? Insisting that the wrong thing will bring forth something good. Right? Are you listening? So God wants you to understand that in that word righteousness, there is a whole reality that God has defined. And that word righteousness has to be brought inside of you. It has to be explained into your being. It has to be brought alive through your personality. It has to be brought alive through your actions, through your mind, your thinking, right? Your character. All right? So you realize that in that simple word, there is so much hidden inside of it. Are you listening, brethren? All right? Do you understand how important it is for us to be taught by God? Because there is no human technology, there is no method known to man that can unveil and unlock the substance of this word called righteousness. There is no technology in man, there is no resource in man that has the ability to unlock the substance of this word called love. Because if we had, we could do that. This entire human race would be a different race of people. This entire human race will function very differently if we knew what righteousness was. Are you listening? I've just taken two words, and I want you to understand that those two words are pregnant with life. They are pregnant with the intents and desires of the Father's heart. They have got so much of potential in just two words. Are you listening? We talked about the flow of Scripture. The flow of Scripture is to bring forth life, to bring forth an abundance of life, to bring forth a life that keeps on expanding and growing, not a static lifestyle, not a lifestyle of doing things by rote every day, by habit every day, something that we seem to be stuck into. But what God wants us to discover is the abundance of His life, the abundance of His life that can unveil in so many different ways. Right? There is a wealth of reality in the words that come from the heart of God. That's why one of the names of God, the covenant names of God, is Yahweh Tsidkenu. I am who I am, I am your righteousness. You see, God puts His whole name behind this word called righteousness. He talks about the reality of who He is and all that He is that is meant to describe this word righteousness. To make us righteous, to enable us to do what is right. To do what is right involves having the right thoughts, having the right character, having the right words, having the right relationships, having the right desires, right? Being able to see things in the right way. Being able to do everything in word and in deed the right way. It is a complex reality. Hello? It's a complex reality. And God says, my word is meant to be invested inside of you. You know, how were you born again? God invested His word inside of you. Where do we find that? In the book of 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It is written, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. Through the living and abiding word of God. What is God saying here? I released the seed of my word and you were born again. Can anyone explain how exactly you were born again? Can you explain the chemistry of how you were born again? Being born again is part and parcel of what is called the technology of God. He brought you alive to Him. Are you listening? And in that process, He did that by planting the seed of His word inside of you. Suddenly new things came alive to you. Suddenly there was a desire inside of you to do something right. Suddenly there was a desire for you to discover the person of God. Suddenly there was a desire within you to hear the word of God. Suddenly there were changes in your character and your nature. Being born again. You see, in that simple example of being born again, God has taught us to come alive to something that is entirely beyond our capacity. Are you listening? And I want you to understand that being born again is just a beginning in God. It is not the end. Being born again is the beginning of a whole journey in God. It's a beginning of a whole universe in God. And God wants you to discover that universe. He wants your being to absorb the realities that are in His word. He wants you to be taught by Him because He has a great and eternal purpose for your life. He has the intent of making you His son. He has an intent of making you a priest unto Him. He has an intent of making you a king in His kingdom. He has the intent of making you a prophet of His word. He has the intent of making you the dwelling place for His name. So God's ambition over your life and my life is infinitely beyond our collective intelligence. I will repeat that. The ambition of God your Father over your life is infinitely beyond our collective intelligence. Why are we starting this topic this way? To break these shackles that we have over our mindsets. That being taught by God is just pie in the sky stuff. It is not. It is the very fundamental basis in which you can receive
anything in God. If you're not going to be taught by Him, you're not going to be able to handle anything He gives you. If you're not going to be fashioned and formed by His will, you're going to do things the wrong way for all eternity. And that cannot be. So you need to understand that God has to teach us. It is very fundamental for you to understand that you are to be taught by God. And so this module 2 is to open this into your spirit, to open this reality into your heart, to establish a living hope inside of you. A living hope to expect God to teach you. A living hope to keep your heart open to what God is able to do with you. Are you listening, brethren? To be taught by God is so very crucial to all of us. Because God doesn't teach us the way we are taught in the world system. When God teaches you, He also changes you. When God teaches you, He also creates in you what is not there. When God brings understanding inside of you, that understanding comes with all of the equipment so that that understanding has got meaning. He will change you. He will transform you. So the Word is fundamentally meant to equip you with everything that you need to be all that God wants you to be. And that's why you need to receive God's Word. And always remember, what is contained in the Word is beyond you and me. Just two words we took, love and righteousness. Words that we take for granted. Words that we think we understand. And the Bible simply says, God is love. For that word love to communicate who God is an amazing thing. For that word righteousness to communicate what it means to do something right according to God's perspective, means that that word righteousness is pregnant with a whole universe of power and intent and application that God wants to bring into your life. I want you to see and understand that so that you don't take the things of God superficially. You will not open your Bible superficially. You will not read the Word of God as if you're reading somebody else's writings. Because the Word of God is not like that. The Word of God has a very deep and powerful intent inside of it. And fundamental to the communication of the Word of God is this idea of being taught by God. And you must know it. You must be taught by God, and you must know that you are being taught by God. Hello. You must know that you are being taught by God. The evidence and the conviction that you are being taught by God must be something that is growing inside of you. Amen. All right. Are you with me, brethren? Let's look at another verse in the book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. You know, this is a very deep passage of scripture. It starts with a lamp and ends up with a morning star. Are you listening? It starts with a lamp, right? A lamp doesn't look very spectacular. Correct? You have seen the kerosene lamp. Not exactly something to turn you on. Right? Okay? But it starts with a lamp and it ends up as a morning star. Are you listening? It starts up with a lamp and it ends up with you becoming a morning star. And the mode in which God is going to bring it forth is your heart. And it says, pay attention to my word, because my word has the potential of unveiling in you the reality of a morning star. Now, we can't comprehend that. We don't have intelligence for all that. This is way beyond our intelligence. It is way beyond the intelligence of Einstein too. God is talking in language that is entirely creative. God is talking about bringing something forth from small beginnings to something that is beyond our imagination. We do not know what it means to shine like the morning star. Right? Why a morning star? Because a morning star is always rising. Hello? It is not an afternoon sun. It is a morning star. The intent is that we will keep on rising into the things of God. Now all this is inherent to the idea of being taught by God. I want you to understand that, brethren. If you don't, you need to capture that reality, because we are talking here about spiritual things. We are talking here about what God wants to bring into your life. We are talking here about the potentials that are in God. We are not talking here about how intelligent I am or how intelligent you are or how many talents you have and how many talents I have. We are not talking about small stuff like that. That is child's play. We have learned how to play marbles, and we think it is very impressive that we are the best marble player amongst a crowd of a few million people. And we think we have achieved a great thing. This verse tells you that God is talking about something far higher. He's talking about a spiritual reality that is beyond your intelligence and my intelligence. He's talking about the unveiling of the sons of God. Now all of this reality comes out of the word. It says the prophetic word. You have the prophetic word made more sure. What is the prophetic word? The word that is to be fulfilled. That word love is a prophetic word. It is not simply a word found in the Oxford Dictionary. That word righteousness is a prophetic word. It has a fulfillment potential in it. I'm just taking one word, brother. It has a prophetic reality in it. The potential of fulfillment. So if God puts that word righteousness inside of your heart and He develops it inside of you and brings it out, it will manifest what is written in the book of Malachi as the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N of righteousness. Are you listening? Very powerful. Amazing. The reason why we are starting this way is so that you will not reduce God to your level. That you will open your heart and understand that what God is doing with you is something humongous. It is something amazing. So walk into it. Right? Walk into it setting your hope on the Lord. Right? Hope. He didn't say sit down and write an analysis of it or what you understand. No. He said set your hope on it, and out of that hope will come the substance of faith, and out of the substance of faith will come that understanding that will result in you being able to see what God has done with you. Hello? Hope. Okay? So there is so much to hope for in God. If you just take the Bible, if you just take something like the law, thou shalt not kill, right? In the fulfillment of the law, just imagine if you and I had a nature that did not kill. Just imagine what the human race would be like if we are all manifested in that reality in which we will have no desire to kill or to murder. Just imagine what kind of a world we will have if we do not steal anymore. Just imagine what kind of marriages we will have, what kind of families we will have if we will not commit adultery. You see, every solution for the human race is contained in the Word of God. Every solution for your life is contained in the Word of God. You have to allow God to bring that Word inside of you and develop that Word inside of you, and He will change you. And you will change. Right? He will develop your thinking process. He will develop your understanding. He will develop your character. He will develop your nature. He will develop your perspectives. He will develop your conviction. He will develop you in strength. He will develop you in a whole bunch of things. He will develop your whole life. And all that stands in the Word. The Word is entirely creative, brethren. And God tells you what the Word is all about right there in the book of Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light." And the Bible very simply writes, "And there was light." But in dealing with you and me, God is not dealing with a mass of matter. He's dealing with someone He has given a free will to. He's dealing with someone with the capacity to think, to feel, to understand, to know. He is dealing with someone with a capacity to choose. And so when God releases His word, He always wants you to make the choice. And do you want it or don't you want it? Are you with me? He has given you the ability to discern, to know, to understand, to be willing to set your hope on Him. So fundamental to being taught by God is this reality of having a hope in Him. And you must cultivate this word called hope in your life. Alright? The word called hope, you have to pray for in your life. Give me, Lord, the perspective in which I can hope on You. Set my heart on You. And build in me the faith that will bring me forth as the person You want me to be. Bring into me, right, the substance that will enable me to be what I cannot be in myself. Hello? It is in this way that you begin to see who God is. It is in this way that you begin to understand what God can do with you. Otherwise, we will be still rolling around in our mediocrity, like chickens scratching for worms in the earth. God is telling you, soar like an eagle, rise in the winds of My Spirit. Understand the great things that I have for you. Why do you want to scratch like a chicken? Is it some great accomplishment to find a worm? Why don't you soar like an eagle? Have you ever seen an eagle soar? It just glides. Very rarely do you see an eagle's flap its wings. It just glides. It knows how to rest. And in that example in the natural, which is not actually a very good example, God is giving you a spiritual reality of how He means to teach you. He's going to teach you how to rest in Him, and He's going to take you by the winds of His Spirit high into the things that He has for you. Now that is what it means to be taught by God. And to be taught by God, you must be willing to see things in that perspective. So we have started at the deep end. All right? But you will remember what we read in the Psalms, right? Make me understand. Open my eyes. Expand my heart. Very powerful ideas, brethren. Right? Very powerful ideas. When God teaches you, He is creating you. He is creating within you a new reality. He is bringing into you things that are far beyond you. He's opening you to what is in Him. And He's telling you, live by Me. Live through Me. Discover what it means to be able to do something with Me. To be able to do something through Me. Stop just trying to live by yourself. Struggling along like a chicken scratching for a worm. Enough of that. Why don't you think like an eagle? Why don't you be prepared to soar in the winds of the Spirit? Amen. Being taught by God. Alright? Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Alright? Okay. So listen to the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Pray it in. Right? In being taught by God, everything has to be dealt with in prayer. Everything has to be dealt with in prayer. What is prayer? Asking something of God. What is prayer? Seeking something from God. What is prayer? Knocking for something at the door of His heart. So Jesus said, you are to seek, ask, you are to seek, and you are to knock. Those are the fundamental processes in which you learn from God. You have to ask, you have to seek, and you have to knock. And you have to do that with perseverance. We have to do that with perseverance. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Okay. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Are you with me? Persistence. Persistence is the inherent reality of hope. Right? So we have introduced this word hope, and we have developed this word hope. We are saying for you to hope in God, you must ask, you must seek, and you must knock at his heart. And you must do this with persistence. You must do it with persistence, so that it becomes alive to you in subconscious and unconscious terms. That means your hope in God is there continually, even when you are sleeping. How can that happen? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And that's why Jesus said, ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Because we are talking about supernatural realities. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't take a sleep. He doesn't take a break, rather. He is there at all times. So if you develop a relationship with the Lord, what you have asked for is made manifest from you by the Spirit, even at a subconscious and unconscious level. That's why it is written elsewhere in Scripture that you can pray by the Spirit all the time. How come? Through hope. What does it mean? Pray by the Spirit all the time. Does that mean you go around praying in tongues 24 hours of the day? That's not what it means. What it means is that you have a hope that has been built by the Spirit within you. And that hope is addressing God all the time. Right? It is addressing God all the time. It is alive from you even as you are living. Hello. Praise the Lord. All right. So set your hope on the things of God. Right? Develop that hope in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now you guys pray in tongues. Right? You have a verse in the Bible. You have a word you want to see alive in your life. Pray it in by the Spirit. And ask the Lord to just energize it within you. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is just ask, brethren. And if it's good, if it's righteous, if it's holy, if it's true, there is nothing that will stop it from coming forth into you. Hello. Look at what the Lord says in verse 13 here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? Right? You see, God has the intention to give us good things. The trouble is, many things that we ask for are not good. And that's why he says, ask for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. Because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. And it takes the Holy Spirit to discern, to clarify things within you, to work into you the right kind of reaction to God. Not reaction, the right kind of attitude towards God. The right kind of hope towards God. Are you listening? Hope. The very basis of being taught in God is to have your hope in Him. All right? From hope comes substance. From substance comes evidence. And in that evidence, there comes out an understanding. Correct? Has everyone got that? That's a supernatural equation of being taught. It's a supernatural system of being taught. From hope comes substance. And from that substance comes an evidence. And from that evidence comes understanding. And where does this system... Right? Are you listening? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
King James Version, New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the first four words, by faith we understand. And in that, there is a supernatural process of being taught by God. Right? A supernatural process being taught by God. Let me repeat that again. From hope comes the substance of faith. In the substance of faith, God unveils an evidence. And in that evidence comes understanding. Now, what is the meaning of this word understanding? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. I'm reading from the New American Standard. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, the knowledge of God. In the King James Bible, it says the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Am I right? Correct? The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Who has got a New King James Bible? Who's reading one? Right? Is that right? Is that what it's written? Right? The knowledge of the Holy. Two ideas are being translated through the scriptures. One talks about all that is holy. You will come to know all that is holy in God. And the other Bible, other translation tells you that you will come to know the Holy One Himself. That understanding is actually knowing God and knowing all that comes to you from God. Knowing all that belongs to you in God. So this word understanding is very important. That's why this entire program is based on this word understanding. Not memorization. Understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. The word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Right? As you hear, hope unveils in you. In that hope comes the substance of faith and the evidence that results in an understanding. And in that process, God enables you to know Him, to know all that is in Him. Are you with me? Okay? So these basics must be in your thinking. These basics must be alive in you even at an unconscious level. That part of you that just functions without even you realizing what is happening. Are you with me? It's very powerful, isn't it? If you can get the truth into your unconscious and your subconscious, how powerfully you can function. How powerfully God can use you and raise you. Amen? Are you listening? Right? And that's something you really need to know. We are talking here again of spiritual truths that are in the Bible. We are looking at the secrets of the Word of God. Right? Being taught by God is taking hold of the secrets of God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Here's another verse that is so very important to our understanding. It says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. You see, God fulfills the law by manifesting the words of the law. He takes that word love and He develops it in your being. He develops it into your character. He develops it into your thinking. He develops it into every form of your words, your thoughts, everything inside of you. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed to you belong to you forever. Can you work for anything that is going to remain with you forever? Assuming that you suddenly have the intellectual power of an Einstein. Is there anything that you can work for that will last forever? But God is saying everything that He reveals to you will last forever. Where should you be investing your time and your money? Your life rather, not money. Right? Where you see, sometimes we say words because, you know, when we words, invest means money. What about investing your life? Where would you invest your life? When you invest your time, you're investing your life. And God wants you to invest your life in the Word of God. Because He says, what comes to you by the Word of God remains with you forever. You can take it and hand it over to your children. Your natural children and your spiritual children. What He communicates into you, you can manifest it through your words. Powerful, isn't it? When you can manifest something in your words, that's ministry, brethren. Whether you manifest it in prayer, whether you manifest it in worship, whether you manifest it as a counselor, whether you manifest it as a preacher, whether you manifest it as a teacher, whether you manifest it as prophecy, whether you call it word of knowledge, whether you call it word of wisdom, it is all words. And words describe. Words give form. Words give substance. Amen. So the secret things belong to God. And those secret things are more than what meets the eye. We just picked up two words today. And we found that there are secret things in those words. Are you with me? What about words like wisdom? What about words like knowledge? What about word like power? We like that word. What about words like authority? What about words like truth? What about words like humility? What do they really mean? Are you with me? What about words like strength? What do they really mean? How did Jesus do ministry in the middle of nowhere under the blazing sun, then pray the whole night and then walk on water? Amazing. Correct? How did He do that? Where did He get that kind of strength from? Where did He get that kind of an energy from? Amen. He was resting in God. What does it mean to rest in God? That's a mystery too. You see, we use a lot of words superficially. And we think we understand what they mean. But when you take that word and lift it up and you look up into God, those words suddenly become something that you don't understand really. Are you listening? And that's when you realize that you have to be taught by God. There is really very little that you really know. There is really very little that you really know. So the Lord says the secret things belong to God. But the moment He reveals it to you, it is yours forever. All right? Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 22. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. Are you listening, brethren? The Lord Jesus is making a very dramatic statement here. He's saying, for nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. And what happens when something is revealed to you? It belongs to you forever. Correct? We just read that. Okay? Nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. What did we read in the Psalms? That the words, out of the word of God comes light. Correct? Hello? You remember that? Psalm 119. I think it was verse 130. Right? Let's look at it again. Psalm 119. Verse 130. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hello? That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They shall inherit the earth. All right? Right? The meek shall inherit the earth. Correct? Alright. Are you listening? The unfolding of thy words give light. So what does Jesus say? Nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay? Do you realize that when it becomes light, it becomes part of your being? Right? That's why in John chapter 8 verse 12 Jesus says, he who follows me shall have the light of life. The light of life. It becomes part of your being. It becomes part of your life. Are you listening? Now if you look at where Jesus is talking from in this whole discourse, you find that chapter 4 is talking about the word of God. He says the sower went out to sow, and he sowed the seed of the word. Look at verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. They hear the word of God. You're listening? That's why we have built this whole program on hearing. They hear the word of God. Right? Does your Bible say hear? Right? The ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it. Right? Accept it. You have a free will. You can either accept or you can reject. God wants to make a covenant with you. In the laws of man, a covenant is made through offer and acceptance. God makes the offer through his word and he says, do you want to accept it? When you accept something in God, it is a covenant. That means God will undertake to fulfill that covenant into the tablets of your heart. He will bring it alive into your thinking process. He will bring it alive into your being. He will establish it in your character, in your nature. He will make it your reality. And the result of that is a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold. What does 30-fold mean? 30 times 100%. Now, we don't know realities like that in the natural world. Certainly not on a sustained basis. But God tells you that through his word, he can manifest 30, 60, and 100-fold measures of growth. Are you listening, brethren? All this is supernatural. You can't intellectually do all this. Hello? You can only enter into this by hope. Are you listening? You can only enter into this reality by hope. Verse 23. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. And more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Very strict words. Listen. Listen carefully. Listen. And understand that listening is deciding what you're going to receive and what you're not going to get. And the Lord says, if you do not learn to listen, even what you have, I will take away from you. Pretty stern words, isn't it? Yeah. Why is it? Because everything in God comes with responsibility. Yes, you are born again. Yes, you are a son unto God. Now comes the responsibility of being a son unto God. Your job is to receive the word of God and grow so that you can be a blessing to others. So that you can be the son that God wants you to be. That you will be a blessing to people. If you don't have the word, you cannot bless them with anything. Because God is watching over his word to perform it. He's not watching over your good intentions and my good intentions. He's not watching over our emotional state of mind. He's not talking about how much we would like to give our brother something. He's very telling you, if you don't give the word, I'm not going to give them anything. If you don't take heed to listen to my word, I'm not going to give you anything either. If you don't take heed to listen to my word, what you have, I will remove from you. Praise the Lord. Having said all that, now look, let's look at the key to learning. Verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now, we know that that seed represents the word of God. Alright? The soil represents the soil of your heart. And he goes to bed at night. and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Isn't this an amazing growth process? How he himself does not know. That's how God wants you to grow. Why does he want you to grow like that? So that you will appreciate the power of God. You will appreciate the power of God and you will leave this foolishness of trying to live in your own strength. And discover the awesomeness of living by God. That you will, in your free will, make the right choices to live by God instead of yourself. Hello. Listening? Isn't it wonderful that you can just take the seed into your heart and go to sleep on it and it will grow by itself? Hello. God didn't say you must stand on your finger and balance. All he said is hear. Hear and accept. Right? Hear and accept. I'm making you an offer through my word. Receive it and I will make a covenant with you. I will establish that covenant for you. I will make it come forth fruitfully in your life. I will make it bear fruit. I will cause it to grow. I will water it. I will do all that is necessary to make you all that I want you to be. All you have to do is to listen and accept. Listen and accept. Isn't that a very fair proposition? You know, we have pursued so many things in the system of the world. Parents sell their houses, sell this, sell that to send their children for an education. After doing all that, how much remains in 100 years from now? The parents won't be there 100 years from now. The person on whom it was invested to is all gone. But you see, everything in the kingdom of God lasts forever. And God is asking you to listen and accept his offer of life. Because that is what God is offering, life. God is giving you the word to give you life. God is giving you the word to give you a brand new lifestyle. God is giving you the word to bring forth in you a creation that you have never even imagined could exist. Hello? And God established the sufficiency of his proposition by causing you to be born again. In making you born again, God showed you how spectacularly he can change you in a moment of time. How spectacularly he can open your heart to realities that you completely denied yesterday. And he's asking you, in that small exercise of my word in you, in that small planting of my word in your heart, I open to you a whole new ballgame. You who had no hope, you who had no future, you who had nothing to draw from, I suddenly opened something to you and I showed you that there is a whole new universe available to you. And I'm prepared to teach you and make you alive to that universe in which I am the creator. I've chosen you to be my son. I have chosen to invest my love in you. I have chosen to invest my wisdom in you. I have chosen to invest my understanding in you. I have chosen to invest my power in you. I have chosen to invest my authority in you. I have chosen to give you a position in my kingdom. And my children, it is all available to you, grace upon grace. Why will you not take it? Why do you not want to take it? Why do you insist on scratching around like chickens looking for worms? And thinking that when you find a fat worm, you have really got a great paycheck. That worm will feed you for a moment in time and then it will pass on. But what I am giving you is the abiding. What I am giving you is myself through my word. I'm opening myself to you. I'm giving of myself to you. And I'm saying that I will sustain you and I will show you the treasures of my heart. I will unfold the flow of my word into your life and I will cause your life to expand so that you will see awesome things come forth from your life. Will you not hear me? Will you not accept all that I have given you through the sacrifice of my son? That's your father talking to you. And this is his word. You need to be taught the word of God. Let's finally finish with looking at John chapter 6, verse 45. John chapter 6, verse 45. Verse 44. Let's read this and complete this session. John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You are to be taught by God. Now this is the sublime message of the scriptures. Being taught by God. Only God can expound the scripture to you. Only God can make that scripture come to life in you. Only God can develop that scripture through your being. Only God can bring it to life through your life. Only God can testify of His word. It is His word. So in the flow of scripture, the central idea is this. You found that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I am watching over my word to perform it. Praise the Lord. When God performs His word, one of the basic realities that He brings inside of you is to teach you. Praise the Lord. And when God teaches you, that's one of the fundamental and basic forms of His grace towards you. Right? That the words of God give light and He gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. The words of the Lord open in light and He gives understanding to the simple. Are you a simple person? Are you prepared to be a simple person? That was the first thing God addressed in my life. The willingness to become a child. And the day you say in your heart to God the Father, I am your child. I am prepared to be a simple person. God can open to you a whole universe. Based on His greatness. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you. That all of us are to be taught. And how we are to be taught, Father. In this simple introductory tape, O God, you have opened our heart, O God, to an awesome reality that is alive in you, Father. A reality that your Holy Spirit seeks to unveil in us in Jesus Christ. A reality of us all being taught by you, O God. A reality of being taught such that we will be able to grow in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures. A reality of being taught in which you will give us, O God, a possession, O God, that will last forever, Father. A reality of being taught in which, O God, we will grow by resting in you. By simply hearing and learning. By simply hearing and accepting what you speak to us. That this reality, O God, of being taught in you, Father, taught by you, is a reality of understanding. And that understanding comes through faith, Lord. That understanding of faith comes as we set our hope on you. Release your word into us so that it will unveil with hope. Teach us to set our hope on you. And let that hope be a growing light within us, Father. A light that will not die. A light that will become part and parcel of the fabric of our being. The light of life. So through your light, give us that hope. Through your light, enable us, O God, to live the life that you have given us through that hope, Father. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.